Good morning, everyone. Thank you. This is a very important day for the people of Illinois. Today, I am signing a very good piece of legislation to improve public safety for the people of our state. For too long, we've had situations where guns can be kept in the hands of individuals who are mentally unstable or deemed to be dangerous. We cannot have that situation continue to exist. And I want to commend members of the General Assembly for working on a bipartisan basis. They passed, and today I will sign, House Bill 2354, which is an emergency restraining order bill, which allows judges, as approached by law enforcement or family members, judges to issue restraining orders to remove guns or prevent gun purchases from those individuals who are deemed to be dangerous to themselves or to others. This is a very important step forward to increase safety for the people of our state, and I'm proud to sign this legislation today. With that, I would like to turn the podium over. We have a number of speakers, and again, this was bipartisan, well negotiated, and supported by law enforcement. I'd like to turn the podium over to Illinois State Police Director Leo Schmitz. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you. I'd like to reiterate Senate Bill 2354. We're glad to be here today with the governor on this signing, along with our law enforcement friends and the law enforcement people that work for me. I'd also like to thank the senators and the representatives that worked on this to get this done. This bill can help us in certain situations possibly save people's lives. Police officers and family members are going to be working together on this. And I'll tell you, there might be a family member that can save other people's lives doing this and getting in front of a judge and getting this bill that we're putting in to work. We might be able to get some guns away from people that should not have them at that time, and a family member is the person who probably would figure that out first. So this is fantastic for us. There's due process on this too, so I believe that this bill will help us immensely in what we're trying to do in law enforcement. With that, I'd like to introduce Sheriffs Snyders and Curran, our sheriffs here in the state of Illinois, and they'll say a few words. Thank you.
Thank you, Director.
Good morning. My name is David Snyders. I'm the sheriff of Stevenson County and also serve as the president of the Illinois Sheriffs Association. The Illinois Sheriffs Association represents all 102 counties in the state of Illinois. I'm happy to be here this morning to share a few thoughts as the governor takes action on this legislation. I'd like to thank the governor and those legislators involved in working in a bipartisan fashion to ultimately get this bill in the form that it is today. Due to Representative Willis and her willingness to allow us to share our concerns, this legislation became something that we ultimately support. Like most people, we are looking for something that will help to stop the senseless violence that seems to permeate our society and world today. Law enforcement faces significant challenges in addressing this crisis, and while one bill will not eliminate those challenges, we do believe that this provides the law enforcement community with another tool that can aid us in our efforts. There's no question that the challenges we face are many. However, your law enforcement community remains steadfast in our oath and duty to protect and serve the communities in which we work in. Our continued hope moving forward is that we can continue to discuss and work collaboratively with our policymakers and our communities to find thoughtful and meaningful changes to how we address these issues where we live. And I'd like to introduce Sheriff Mark Curran from the Lake County Sheriff's Office.
Morning. My name is Mark Curran. I'm Lake County, Illinois Sheriff. And Sheriff Snyder and I are intimately familiar with the mental health crisis running jails in Illinois. There's an escalation of mental health issues, no question about it. We're not saying that the fact that somebody's mentally ill makes them likely to use a firearm and use it in a harmful manner, but it is an issue. There's an escalation of mental health. And when you look at the shootings around the country and you look at how mental health played a role in those shootings, and then you look at what happened in Parkland where the young students and they stood up and they demanded action. The helpless feeling, as Director Schmidt pointed out, is not something that they were willing to accept. So Governor Rauner, Illinois General Assembly, we're doing something, and I think that's something we should be proud of, that people can take action when they recognize somebody should not have a firearm. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Colleen Daly, and I'm the Executive Director of the Illinois Council Against Handgun Violence. I'm thrilled to be here today. I'm very thankful for everyone here. Governor, thank you. And our sponsors are working in a truly bipartisan manner to pass common sense legislation that we know ultimately is going to save lives. We've been pushing for this legislation for a few years now, and it was great to sit down with people on both sides of the aisle, as well as the Illinois State Rifle Association. We all came together with a bill that we ultimately know is going to save some lives here in Illinois. People with mental illness are much more likely to be victims of crimes than perpetrators of a crime. But what this bill does, it looks at the intersection of periods of time where having a firearm would turn a situation deadly. And it's very simple. I think we already heard a little bit about this, but it's a 6-month order of protection. If I had a concern about a family member hurting themselves or others, I could petition the courts to remove that gun on a temporary basis. Like I said, there are critical moments, and I think this is a piece of legislation, now almost law, that's going to really save some lives here in Illinois. So once again, I want to thank the governor, and I want to thank our sponsors for their leadership on this issue. Thanks so much.
Good morning. I'm Representative Kathleen Willis. I happen to be the House sponsor of this bill. This is a bill that I've been working on for almost 4 years, along with Colleen. As she stated earlier, it's common sense legislation. Too often we hear after shootings that there were red flags, that there were warning signs that family members saw, and they felt powerless to do anything. This now gives them that power. It gives them the power to be able to be proactive so that we can stop tragedies. This bill was not easy to get where it is right now. Like I said, I've been working on it for 4 years. It took tragedies to have it come forward and to have us actually finally be able to work across the aisle to do it. I have to thank the staffers that worked tirelessly on this, James Hartman and Jen Passwater. They worked tirelessly to make sure that we had everybody's concerns in there, that we could truly make it a bipartisan piece of legislation. Representative Breen worked to help make sure that everybody's thoughts were put into this, that we actually had a bill, and at the end of the day we had 80 people vote for this bill. That truly shows how bipartisan it was. This bill is going to save lives. This is what we need to do. This is something so that the next time we have a tragedy, we don't say, oh, I saw these warnings and I felt helpless. No longer will people feel helpless. They now have something to go and turn to. So I thank the governor very much on his support on this, and I'll turn it over to Representative Breen.
Thank you, Kathy. Peter Breen, State Representative for the 48th District, House Republican floor leader. As Kathy noted, there were a lot of moving parts to this, a lot of objections, especially that were raised in the House, where we had to deal with the concerns of law enforcement, the concerns of some of the gun owners, concerns of all the various groups involved. And Kathy was just an ace in terms of helping us to negotiate through those. She mentioned our staffers. I want to mention them again. Jennifer Passwater on our staff is a former prosecutor, and was an excellent attorney who was able to help work this through, along with James Hartman, her compatriot on the Democratic side. As well, I think I want to really thank the governor and his staff who were with us the entire way. Making sure that the approaches were sensible, that they were the sort of thing that we could continue to be on a bipartisan basis. And so, folks, public safety is our number one concern as elected officials. It is our number one concern. And we drew upon the experience of other states, both the lessons, the good and the bad. And the other states that we looked to showed us that this is not going to be used a lot, but when it's needed, it absolutely will be critical, and it had to be there. This is a hole in our law that we are filling today for, again, it's a small group of situations, but it's a small group that can turn very, very deadly very quickly. And so, again, with that, we've got the best drafted, the most thought through law of this type in the country. It is light years ahead of the other states in their approaches to this situation. Again, we've drawn on their lessons and we think built a better mousetrap and one that the rest of the country can look to as they continue to adopt red flag laws. And then I will now turn it over to Senator Julie Morrison, who was the wonderful Senate sponsor of this legislation.
Thank you, Peter. I'm Senator Morrison from the 29th District. This legislation, quite simply, will avert some of the tragedies that we've read about in the paper. There hasn't been a mechanism for family and friends who have seen those red flags, who have become aware that there were warning signs. This does close the loophole. Most importantly, this is a demonstration of what can happen when you have Republicans and Democrats, policymakers who work across the aisle to come up with some of the most pressing challenges we have in our state. This legislation is a great example and a good demonstration of that. And I hope today, as the governor signs this bill, we recommit, all of us, to continuing the fight for gun violence in this multifaceted issue. Thank you.
LaShawn Ford, State Rep of the 8th District. I want to start out by thanking Kathleen, because this bill wasn't agreed, and in fact, when it was drafted, I wasn't in full support of it at all, but Kathleen made sure that everyone was at the table to make sure all concerns were met, and so I want to give you a lot of credit for making sure you had your conference calls and brought people together so that we can have a bill that we all agree to. Domestic violence and mental health are problems that we see in our community, and suicide. And so this bill, when it's signed into law by Governor Rauner, will be a tool to help us reduce violence in our state. And so I thank Governor Rauner for having a vision and standing up to make sure that we have tools in Illinois to prevent violence and to make our state safer. Thank you.
Thank you. We will open up to questions in just a moment. I'd like to take this time now to invite everyone to stand with me as we sign this very important piece of legislation to improve public safety here in Illinois. Thank you. Pass this out to everybody. Big team effort.
Thank you.
Oh, they're great.
Oh. Glad you're making it.
Yeah.
Thank
47
you.
Was a night.
Yeah.
Now it's time for a few questions.
Yeah, so this is now a family member of law enforcement, member in the community, family, friend, can now take action to go to a court. This requires a judge to issue a restraining order. In terms of the specific mechanics, Would you like to address the actual mechanics in detail?
Sure, and there's two ways to go about this. You start with an emergency order, which is at a similar standard to that of a search warrant. And so you've got to have someone come to court in a verified pleading. That happens on an immediate basis because we've got these situations where you've got to step in right away. Then you go to the six-month order. That's the plenary
that
order.
That first part is 14 days,
right,
isn't it?
14 days right. Maximum. So that way, you're absolutely protective of the person's private property rights and their ability not to have this be brought against them improperly. The second part is a clear and convincing standard of evidence, which is a higher standard than a mere preponderance, that 50% plus one, we've really got to be sure. And at that point, you can enter the six-month order. An important protection that was negotiated here was if you don't prove the clear and convincing evidence, the entire case is expunged. So we don't have people tagged with something that it was improperly tagged, because that is something we've found in our orders of protection and others, that there are places where folks can get they can be red flagged even though they didn't actually have a court hearing against them. So those are the two parts, and then the order can be extended, but again, you've got to prove that the person is still dangerous.
So the first thing you do is you call a lawyer to take something to court, or do you call the police?
Yeah, either law enforcement or the family member or both together. So you and our law enforcement personnel are going to be trained on how to do this, and obviously, as you can see, they're very much in support, and so they would begin that process.
The other important part to it is it also suspends the person's FOID card. So it does us no good to take the guns out of their house if they can go and purchase a new gun during that time period. Our whole goal is not to have this be punitive. We want people to get the help they need so that at the end of 6 months, they can have their guns back and life can go on. And hopefully they'll be in a better mental state than they were at the beginning of this.
Where do the gun actually go? And is there any follow-up? So at the end of the six-month period, can this be extended if somebody is continued to be dangerous? Do they need to prove
Law enforcement will have custody of the gun, though you can have somebody that is related to petition to hold those guns separate, but then they have to go before a judge, sign an affidavit, and clarify that they will not give the gun back to the person that the firearm restraining order is against, so we don't have a Waffle House situation. That was truly important. That was going on just as we were negotiating that. So we wanted to make sure we covered those scenarios. The guns would not be in the same household. They would either be with law enforcement or the judge would issue that it could go to another family member as long as they signed affidavits that they would make sure it was never released. At the end of 6 months, it goes back to the owner of the guns unless the family members petition for an extension, and they do have a right to petition an extension if they feel so.
How long would that take?
That would be another 6 months. Also, during that 6 months, the gun owner can petition the court one time during that to state that they are feeling that they have life under control, and that it's up to the judge to determine if that is in fact the case, and then they can have their guns returned to them and their FOID card. Many of these are red flags that we're seeing, that we're showing issues, like there's a Facebook post that would state that, you know, you're going to end it all, that you're having a Facebook post with a gun that says you're going to shoot up a school. And if you've never done any of that kind of stuff, that could be it. Having family members testify that somebody is drinking more than ever, that they're threatening them, that they're not to the point where they're actually causing physical harm, but maybe they're throwing a chair across the room on a regular basis, those kind of things. So it's up to the judge to determine, but that is one of the things that we've actually made it a little bit harder, that the judge has to, it can't just be, well, my wife doesn't like guns and she wants guns out of the house. That's not going to be enough. There has to be clear statements that and clear evidence that there is stuff going on.
What is it about this piece of legislation that has brought both sides together versus other pieces of gun legislation that has been vetoed? What was it about this one?
You start now, then I'll comment on that.
Sure. And this was one that when particularly on the House side, when we saw this come over from the Senate, there were significant concerns that Representative Ford had mentioned, others had mentioned. We said, look, we need this sort of a red flag law. We need it. But and that was something that we could agree to on a bipartisan basis. Folks across the country agree. But the thing that made it work was that Representative Willis and our side, we were willing to come together and really have the deep, difficult negotiations that are required to put a bipartisan bill together instead of something that passes on bare partisan majorities. So it was kind of an iterative process. It took a little while, but we all agreed on the concept. And then we actually, we had a lot of meetings and we brought in all the stakeholders and that process just continued. And you never know if the process is going to work until you take the vote. And we took the vote and boy, we did better. I think you needed a certain number of votes and we well exceeded your expectations. So.
Yeah. One of the things that was truly important through this is that both sides were very open-minded and listening to the concerns that everybody had. And we brought it to the table and we knew what we wanted as an end result, but how we got there was the thing. And that was what was truly good. I think Representative Reich actually brought it to my attention. He actually posted a similar thing on his Facebook page, and I said, I saw this. Do you know I actually have a bill that's working along those lines? And that helped the conversation start, and we brought all the people that had any type of input together at the table, listened, and worked for this really great piece of bipartisan legislation.
Steve Reich, representative from the 63rd District. This is not an easy bill for anyone because it addresses something that we're so often reluctant to confront. and that is the issue of mental illness, especially where it intersects with civil liberties and our Second Amendment rights. The hard work that we put in on this bill, and it was hard work, and I cannot say enough about the cooperation from Kathy Willis, Peter's input, the governor's staff, and our staff, especially Jen Passwater and James Hartman, to put this bill together, I think is testament to the fact that, yeah, we have got a violence problem in this country, and if we can do something to make mental illness not the motivating factor for somebody creating a tragic situation, we should be doing it. These things are coming out of the dark recesses of a troubled mind. And for us to have the ability and the willingness, and the governor, the willingness to sign a piece of legislation that lets us do this, that lets us protect civil liberties, protect Second Amendment rights, but still address the needs of mental health in this, in these situations, I think is an incredibly, I think it's a good task, and I'm grateful for the cooperation, and I'm grateful to the governor for signing this bill. Thank you.
Governor, can you address, Illinois is believed to be part of the indictment issued by the Department of Justice on Friday. Do you believe that Illinois' election system...
That's a good question. I will answer that, but let's stay on violence prevention and public safety first.
What
and then.
About this bill, obviously the NRA doesn't like any restrictions. Are you at risk politically of upsetting your base by something?
Well, what's important is that we do the right thing for the people of Illinois. And this was done on a bipartisan basis. It's a good step forward. I am a advocate for the Second Amendment. I'm a gun owner. And I believe this bill protects constitutional rights while increasing public safety. It's a difficult balancing act, as Representative Reich has outlined. It's important that we respect civil liberties, that we respect the Constitution and the constitutional rights given to every American citizen, but that we also do common sense steps to keep our residents safe. And taking on the challenge of mental illness or erratic behavior that could indicate danger to oneself or another, this is important. Finding a way to do that while preserving those various aspects, very difficult, as has been said. And again, I want to compliment the members of the General Assembly who did this on a bipartisan basis. Our team, my team, was very integrally involved in this. It was a difficult process. But now it's rigorous. There has to be a judge. There has to be real proof of the issue. It can't just be some accusation. There has to be real proof of danger. And then there's a two-week period to really show proof, and then there's a six-month period. And we want to protect individuals' rights to gun ownership, but for those who are deemed to be dangerous, not let them have guns. And this is a great step forward. I do want to be clear, too, it's unrelated to this bill, there are two other pieces of legislation that have passed the General Assembly. One, I signed this morning, a 72-hour waiting period for all guns. I've already signed that bill. It's important. I signed that this morning today, 72-hour waiting period. Again, bipartisan bill, not easy to negotiate, but I supported it. It was actually part of my original recommendations. And to be clear, I want everyone here today and everyone here across the state to know the General Assembly did pass another version of a gun store regulation bill. And I intend to veto that bill in its entirety. It has not yet been sent to my desk, but I will veto that bill if and when that is sent to my desk. That bill will not increase public safety. It will increase red tape and restrictions and unnecessary burden on our small businesses in Illinois. And I will veto that bill if and when that is sent to my desk. I will also encourage, and I hope you and the media will help me encourage, there are some other very important pieces of legislation that I and my team recommended to the General Assembly and where there is significant support. One is bump stock ban, a ban on the sale of bump stocks. I support that. It has bipartisan support. The General Assembly did not pass that bill. I call on the General Assembly to pass that bill. That can help increase public safety. Number two, the General Assembly did not pass the funding to allow resource officers and mental health professionals to get hired into schools that would like to have them. I recommended that legislation. It has bipartisan support. It is a good step forward to increase school safety, to allow funding and to have a channel of funding for schools that would like to hire a resource officer and a mental health professional. That should pass. It was not voted on. It was not passed. That is something I'd like to see changed, and I'm calling on the General Assembly to pass that piece of legislation. There is another important piece of legislation that I and my team recommended that I think should pass. It has bipartisan support, and that is truth in sentencing. We too often have prosecutors and judges coming together to negotiate reduced sentences or special deals with violent offenders. And we believe that prosecutors and judges should need to step forward and explain the nature of the sentences that they are putting out. We don't want violent offenders back on the streets early. We should have truth in sentencing. We introduced that legislation. It should have been voted on. It frankly should have passed. I think it would pass if it was voted on. I'd call on the General Assembly to pass that as well. Other questions?
Why weren't the adjustments to the gun shop licensing bill enough?
There were some adjustments that were minor improvements. There were some additional adjustments that actually made the bill worse. So on balance, it's not something that I think is reasonable at all. It does not increase public safety.
How is it worse?
We can talk about that detail with you, Bill. Well, another offline. Other questions? Okay. Let's take any other of public safety questions, issues about this legislation. Very important topic. Any other questions here? We'll take a very short break, and then I'll talk about other topics.